And welcome back to Success Made to Last, International Trendsetter Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. This series is about the art and science of marketing, its reinvention, the harnessing of rapid change, giving you, the listener, emerging ideas from around the globe to help your company create your best version. Our host is Deborah Malone, marketing pioneer and guru, highly opinionated, daring, and a trendsetter. She is the internationalist, connecting people and ideas in international advertising, media, and marketing through intelligent content. Join Deborah today in the pursuit of reshaping the future of marketing. Here's Deborah Malone.
Thanks, Rick, and welcome to another internationalist trendsetter show. Today's guest is Bob Leides, CEO of the ANA, the world's largest and one of the oldest advertising associations. Bob joined the ANA as a senior vice president in 1995 and has driven the organization's extraordinary growth and expansion. His previous experience includes more than 15 years in marketing and financial management at Kraft General Foods, including category marketing manager for the Jell-O and Baker's brands. Today we're talking about what marketers should be communicating in this time of crisis and how associations like the ANA are moving quickly to help their needs. Our conversation is intended to provide some useful ideas for any marketer, big or small. Bob, such a pleasure to be with you today, even virtually. But let me start by asking you just something that's been very much on my mind. How are you able to keep up with the pace of work, and how are you connecting with not only your teams at the ANA, but your members?
Great question. We're finding that work has changed. Members have very, very different needs. The universe has very, very different needs. Everybody has very different needs, and it's required us to change the way we do business. One of the most impactful ways that it's changed for us is we no longer can have face-to-face meetings. So what we've had to do is to essentially back end all of those particular meetings and become essentially a virtual company. What that has allowed us to do is to tap into the creativity of our ANA staff. And we've now developed virtual training that can be done online. We are developing one-day conferences that will be conducted online. We are reimagining the content that we can deliver to our members on a regular basis. We are tapping into our CMO community that are creating different councils and messages that we can articulate to the entire marketplace. So what we have to do with, you know, the old saying is you have to become increasingly agile. You have to be fast afoot. You have to listen to your customers and your consumers, and you have to be able to pivot so that you're continuing to deliver the value-added messages that they need in order to be able to make effective decisions quickly and responsibly so that they can be responsible to their respective consumers and customers. How we do that at the ANA is we have to reimagine the way we do workflow and the products and services that we can deliver. And it's amazing to me that people are just sitting on ideas and concepts and approaches. And what we're doing is we're letting them run with it because they do have the imagination. They understand the values that we have, and they understand their responsibility to our respective member companies. And they're inventing and reinventing.
Oh, that's very interesting. So different people on the ANA team are, yes, are coming up with these ideas. Now,
absolutely.
Now that's great. Do you want to share what one of them is now, or maybe
One of the ones that I mentioned was the ability to conduct online training. Mm-hmm. Our training had been conducted essentially in three ways. We would go visit the member at their respective company and do a session on campus. Mm-hmm. We would take sessions around the country and essentially hold, like a mini conference, if you will, to do training. And the third way was on demand. But what we never had was the ability to do a virtual training session so that you actually conducting training to a group of people online virtually like you and I are talking right now. Mm-hmm. We've never done that. So that quickly and creatively came to fruition, and we piloted it last week with a particular member company. Yeah, we had a few technical glitches, but beyond that, Everybody was absolutely delighted, and now we're rolling that out, and we've booked six more online training sessions.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations on that. And it does seem that the nature of work is changing at every level. I have another question for you, because I'm sure your marketers are asking you this. What are you recommending that they do now with their advertising and marketing in response to this virus?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Some work that came out of our recent CMO community meeting, I think really gave us great insight as to what they believe we should be doing. The first was a lesson on focus on story doing and not storytelling. Mm-hmm. And the ability to take their company and to transform it so as to be helpful to consumers and customers is so valuable, so important. So a couple of great examples. LVMH converted their perfume factories to produce hand sanitizer and masks. ABM InBev was also converted their non-alcoholic breweries to produce hand sanitizer, soap, and clean water. Shell donated 6 months of raw materials to support areas that were hit the hardest. And Tencent and Bank of America are contributing millions to help relief efforts. And so many of these companies, like even GM and Tesla, are now in the ventilator manufacturing business. They're doing, and they're telling the stories not to gain acclaim, but to demonstrate that they are purposeful, useful marketers, that they can be something more than just shilling to put their products out there for consumption. The second thing they said was take care of your employees. This is the basis for short-term and long-term. While not everyone will be able to keep all of their employees during these very severe downturns, it's important to recognize that employee jobs and roles are shifting in reaction to the pandemic, and you're going to need new training and procedures to ensure that they are absolutely current. To decentralize and empower local operations for flexibility, just like we were talking a little bit about the ANA a moment ago, but ensure that they are well taken care of. Third is to help the company deeply understand the customer, the consumer. And it's very important that we get out of the salesy approaches to businesses and to ensure that we have the right messaging, whether it's social distancing or something that is purposeful and useful to marketers. Mm-hmm. And then fourth, and Deb, I know you're a big advocate of this, make brands for humans. This is all about B2H, business to humans. And there are a lot of things that you can do, such as create e-happy hours and in-home entertainment, and to listen to your consumers and know how their needs are going to change day to day, and to react as very best that you can.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I know that both of us are very much concerned with purpose-led brands and marketing that can make a world of difference and so on. And I think that we're certainly seeing this from a lot of the large multinationals today. But I also wonder what this means for marketing post-crisis, because I don't think it will be back to normal. I think that this has changed us all in a very big way. And I'm kind of wondering what if you're getting a glimpse of what your members are thinking about. Are marketers looking at ways that they will continue responding like this, or will it be back to normal quickly?
Well, you raise a great point, and I think it's the right question. Prior to the rapid expansion of COVID-19, we have been seeing a very distinct trend towards companies becoming more purposeful marketers. Mm-hmm. They recognize that, to use Mark Pritchard's axiom, you can be a force for good as well as being a force for growth simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And it is the ability to create that authentic role of your brand in consumers' lives that is truly believable, that will in fact help your brand, because it will be a better representation of your authenticity for doing good in this world. you've always said it, marketing can make a world of difference. And it's critical that brands not only come back to where they were pre-COVID, but to understand that their future rests on their ability to have a little bit of that duality of being a force for good and a force for growth. So I think that a lot of companies will learn this as a valuable lesson, is that by creating very deep and profound relationships with consumers in a way that maybe they've not done so before, will create that level of loyalty that they had not expected, and that is based upon relationships and not on just simply finding the right unique selling proposition that we used to live and die by.
No, I think you're right. And I think that people are talking about the companies that treat their employees well, as you mentioned as one of your points, or that are doing good. They're the ones that will not be forgotten when we come through this. And, you know, perhaps not all companies have the ability to go to great length to the kind of levels of making ventilators and so on, but certainly celebrating their employees and caring. And it sounds from what I see from some research out there that consumers do want to hear from brands today. They they care about what the brands say and what the tone is and how respectful they are now, but it sounds like they do want to hear from brands today.
I agree with that, Deb. I think that, you know, the crisis brings a lot of panic and fear out there. And if you develop a good relationship with your consumers and have that trusted relationship, they want to hear from you just like they hear from a good friend. Now, obviously, the tone and manner is different and the relationship is different, but there's every bit of friendship that can be created. And if a brand is smart, they'll develop that authentic relationship, which I do think will have profound long-term business implications. It isn't just about, you know, the bells and whistles that come about through all the various media forms that we have. It's not about the bright and shiny new object. It's about how you convey yourself in that regard. And if we can create consumer friends, then I think you start to transform the way your business is can be managed for the long term.
It's interesting that you say that, because when you were – just two points I wanted to make in reaction to what you said. One was you were talking about some of the great things that were being done by companies. And one of the things I noticed is that the way many of them communicated it was either a simple press release or just something simple in LinkedIn. There wasn't a lot of fanfare, but somehow, whether it was through the passion of their employees or other stakeholders, it got out there because people were, you know, giving it a thumbs up. The other thing that I think about is that in this tragic situation, people are doing good. They're almost jump starting, let's call it a brand purpose initiative. However, the truth is, to get it right, it takes more than a response to something even as awful it is. I mean, my hope is that it will only continue and enhance. And we might see very, very different world and very different marketing down the road, or at least let's hope so. I know you're an optimist. So.
Well, I am. And I recall after 9/11, there was a great degree of camaraderie and community that came out of that horrible experience initially. But unfortunately, over the course of time, things did drift back to some degree of pre-9/11. And I'm hoping that the goodwill that comes out of this particular event will continue far longer. And brands can play a very, very big role in that if they are pitching in right now with socially responsible messages, for example, for social distancing and things of that nature, particularly for young people. Hopefully they will learn how to integrate those messages on a continual basis and develop that special bond and that special friendship that consumers and brands deserve for each other.
Yes, yes. There's so many issues to discuss, particularly in an election year and everything else. But before we get on to anything like that, what will be the first thing that you do when the situation improves? The first thing that you do personally and for business?
Let's do business first, because I do think that the turbulence has created uncertainty among employees and staff. And we get that, and I truly understand it. I mean, heck, I'm uncertain myself as to what the future brings. No one really understands how devastating this might be, so we're all kind of navigating in a very unstable environment right now. I can't wait to return to normal life. I can't wait to be able to return to the office and to be visit with my staff and my employees and kind of just enjoy that stability. I miss my staff. I really do. I enjoy being able to look people square in the eye and have a good laugh with them. You know, all the video conferencing we can do is great, but there's nothing like being there. So from a business standpoint, I just want to get our business environment back to normal so that we can proceed as a trade association, responding in the same way to members as we typically have done. On a personal basis, I just want to get out of my home office.
I know. People joke it's not only your home office, it's suddenly your gym. It's suddenly, everything.
I mean, it's nice to work from home, you know, selectively, but it also is now, you know, becoming a confinement area that leaves you almost strangling to return life to normal. I mean, not be able to go to a restaurant or a movie just at your leisure is very troubling. And there are few alternatives other than watching Netflix all day or something like that. Now, in all honesty, we don't have it so bad. I mean, think about the tragedies that happen around the world. To be confined to Netflix in my home office certainly isn't the most damaging of things. So it will be nice. But, you know, just returning the world to normal will be wonderful for everybody involved. And I, you know, the old saying is you don't appreciate something until it's really gone. And I think the world overall will really appreciate even the small pleasures in life in a very different way.
Well, let's hope so. Let's certainly hope so. Have there been any surprises or anything kind of unexpected that came out of this quarantine for you?
Well, I think that the severity of it was stunning. When we had a general meeting with my total team, as we were sending them off to work from home, there were only 1,700 cases in the United States, and now there's 140,000 just a couple of weeks later. And that's enough to take your breath away. And the ability for what we probably used to call the common cold could be that lethal is very, very discouraging and very, very frightening. And so I think that what looked to be something that we could fly by has turned into be something which is ruthless and unforgiving and arbitrary. I mean, people unfortunately are coming down with this illness and suffering badly or even dying that I would never even imagined happening before. And unfortunately, what this has done is turned my organization from a business standpoint on its head, just like your business. I mean, through no fault of our own,
yes,
we are dealing with very, very severe conditions that are tapping into every level of resourcefulness that we can tap into in order to be able to navigate out of this thing with people in place, with revenues in place, with whatever it is that we can do so that we can guarantee the long-term health and the going concern nature of our business. That's the level of uncertainty, I think, that paralyzes us all, but that we have to slap ourselves from time to time to get out of that and just say, we got to march on, and we have to be out there to lead our family, our friends, our employees, our industry to a better place. And I think that now that people really understand the severity of this, I think people are moving to greater degrees of responsibility. I read the other day that 90% of U.S. citizens are now practicing social distancing. That's great. When I go into a grocery store, you know, people are very careful about what they touch. They're wearing gloves or whatever. The level of caution is there. It's a level of responsibility that is terrific. All of these things, small in nature, that we used to not even give a second thought to, we're now paying very strict attention to and learning to incorporate those into our daily lives as our contribution to help end this thing.
No, that's certainly well said. Well, I You and the ANA make a tremendous contribution to marketing. I think that marketing is one of the most important elements of business. I usually talk about it as the head and the heart, if done right. And we look forward to you guiding us through this and also leading us on the way out. And I look forward to keeping the conversations going, Bob. And please, I hope that you and your family are safe.
Well, Deb, thank you. You have always been a great friend and a colleague over all these years. We are joined at the hip, and we will continue to be. Thank you for everything that you do for our industry.
Thanks, Bob. All right. Take care now.
You too. Thank you.
Check out the internationalist.com website. That's the -internationalist.com to hear all of our podcasts and get the latest insights from global marketing leaders from P&G, Airbnb, Unilever, and countless others. Thanks, Bob, for being a part of today's show and also for being a vital part of our community of marketers. You've inspired our listeners to think deeply and purposefully about their customer needs at this time. And now back to Rick.
And thanks for joining us for another Internationalist Trendsetter Show hosted by Deborah Malone. To get further information on today's topic, visit the-internationalist.com, your trusted source for innovative marketing trends, best practices, aspiring to create new world standards. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasini@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.